Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Región de Murcia. Pruebas específicas de certificación. Inglés. Nivel C1. Convocatoria septiembre 2021. Comprensión de textos orales.
Task 1. Listen to an interview with actress Camilla Luddington about her role as Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider video game series. Decide which 6 of the statements below are true, according to what is said in the interview. Write your answers in the grid provided below, as shown in example 0. You will hear the recording twice.
Now you have 2 minutes to read the task before the audio starts.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider is finally here out September 14th, and sitting next to me is Lara Croft herself, Camilla Luddington.
After everything that my father went through, I gave Trinity exactly what they wanted.
I think this is the first game where you really feel like Lara, in the beginning she was hunted by Trinity, and now she's kind of turned into the hunter. And there's an element absolutely to her losing herself, to the quest to find Trinity and stop them. And I think that she sort of has to re-find herself in this game, because there are elements of her that sort of, she's definitely the hero, but there's almost like she could almost be the villain at the same time. There's questionable, you know, there's questionable actions that she takes and then she regrets. And so she's very complicated in this game.
I don't know if we could say this, but you mentioned before we started that this was your personal favorite.
This is my personal favorite. As an actor, this one pushed me the most emotionally and physically, would be my answer without giving anything specific. It's just always really exciting, and this game especially, getting to see the team again and knowing that it was the third in the trilogy, it was just, I don't know, it's always exciting.
That's the thing, you mentioned this trilogy, and I'm like really wanting a million more of these games.
I want
them
too.
Is this like the final?
The swan song.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I think that when I started, I did always know that it was going to be a trilogy, so that's how I've thought of it. So I did leave thinking that possibly this would be my last my last journey with Lara. And but who knows? Yeah.
I think like every interview I watch, people in the comments are like, oh, I wish she would play Lara on the big screen, on the small
yes.
screen. Do you have an itch to play her in a live action sense at all?
I would love to, but I get asked about the Alicia Vikander movie and I joke I would have made a very pregnant, slow Lara Croft during that period of time. Yeah, I think I would love to, but also, you know, I mean, I got to be part of this, and this is so iconic to me that I feel like I've done my part, too.
Your daughter is how old? One?
She's 18 months.
18 months.
Yes.
So, I mean, I grew up with Lara Croft as my idol. Like, I was, like, telling you before, my granddad taught me how to play Tomb Raider 2 and taught me how to lock the butler in the freezer, which is like,
I love it.
Because he was so creepy. Are you excited for, like, your daughter to potentially see you as Lara Croft and maybe kind of grow up with her as an icon?
You know, I've thought about that. Obviously, it's going to be a long time until she's able to play. But I'm excited for that day when it comes because I feel like, you know, there aren't many, you know, female leads still in video games. Mm-hmm. And Lara, to me, is the first. And she's definitely one of the first. And she's so iconic that I hope that she's sort of proud that her mom got to be a piece in it.
So between Grays and Tomb Raider and having an 18-month-old,
yes,
do you have?
I'm very tired.
Yeah,
that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I mean, well, we haven't heard an update on your wedding planning in a while.
I haven't either.
Yeah,
no.
I was like, do you even have time to think about it?
You know what, Matt and I, we have been really discussing it the past month because we have been putting it off, not on purpose, but we've just been both so busy. So we've just started talking about it and about next summer. And I will let you know.
You did get married on Grey's Anatomy.
I know.
On the screen. Was there anything from your TV wedding that you were like, oh, I kind of want to insert that into my...
What's funny is we shot our TV wedding at a place called Calamigos Ranch in Malibu, in California. And Matt came to visit the set and he stepped on and we were like, damn, because it was so gorgeous and they do weddings there. And he was like, we could have done it here, but now you and Alex have taken it. So, I mean, the whole wedding itself was absolutely gorgeous on Grays. So I would have loved to, I mean, we joked even about like, hey, should we just run down the aisle and just quickly say our vows to like the actor priest and be done with it. But no, it was so gorgeous that there were definitely elements of it that I kind of wanted to steal for my wedding, but I shall make them both very different.
I know your fiance is like a grown man, but was he like, oh, I'm a little jealous you're getting married on a small screen.
Yeah, it was weird. I was leaving that morning and he was like, bye, good luck with your wedding to someone else. It's a very weird being actors, but he's an actor too, so he understands.
That's so funny.
And he loves Justin.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider is finally here, out September 14th, and sitting next to me is Lara Croft herself, Camilla Luddington.
After everything that my father went through, I gave Trinity exactly what they wanted.
I think this is the first game where you really feel like Lara, in the beginning, she was hunted by Trinity, and now she's kind of turned into the hunter. And there's an element absolutely to her losing herself to the quest to find Trinity and stop them. And I think that she sort of has to re-find herself in this game, because there are elements of her that sort of, she's definitely the hero, but there's almost like she could almost be the villain at the same time. There's questionable, you know, this questionable actions that she takes and then she regrets. And so she's very complicated in this game.
I don't know if we could say this, but you mentioned before we started that this was your personal favorite.
This is my personal favorite. As an actor, this one pushed me the most emotionally and physically, would be my answer without giving anything specific. It's just always really exciting, and this game especially, getting to see the team again and knowing that it was the third in the trilogy, it was just, I don't know, it's always exciting.
That's the thing, you mentioned this trilogy, and I'm yes. like really wanting a million more of these games.
I want them
is
too.
This like, is this like the final?
The swan song.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I think that when I started, I did always know that it was going to be a trilogy, so that's how I thought of it. So I did leave thinking that possibly this would be my last journey with Lara.
And
but who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
I think like every interview I watch, people in the comments are like, "Oh, I wish she would play Lara on the big screen, on the small
yes.
screen." Do you have an itch to play her in a live action sense at all?
I would love to, but I get asked about the Alicia Vikander movie, and I joke I would have made a very pregnant, slow Lara Croft during that period of time. Yeah, I think I would love to, but also, you know, I mean, I got to be part of this, and this is so iconic to me that I feel like I've done my part too.
Your daughter is how old? One?
She's 18 months.
18 months.
Yes.
So, I mean, I grew up with Lara Croft as my idol. Like, I was like telling you before, my granddad taught me how to play Tomb Raider 2 and taught me how to lock the butler in the freezer, which is like,
I love it.
Because he was so creepy. Are you excited for like your daughter to potentially see you as Lara Croft and maybe kind of grow up with her as an icon?
You know, I thought about that. Obviously, it's going to be a long time until she's able to play. But I'm excited for that day when it comes, because I feel like, you know, there aren't many, you know, female leads still in video games, mm-hmm. and Lara, to me, is the first, and she's definitely one of the first, and she's so iconic that I hope that she's sort of proud that her mom got to be a piece in it.
So between Grays and Tomb Raider and having an 18-month-old,
yes,
do you have?
I'm very tired.
So, yeah,
if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I mean, well, we haven't heard an update on your wedding planning in a while.
I haven't either.
Yeah,
no.
I was like, do you even have time to think about it?
You know what, Matt and I, we have been really discussing it the past month, because we have been putting it off, not on purpose, but we've just been both so busy. So we've just started talking about it and about next summer. And I will let you know.
You did get married on Grey's Anatomy.
I know.
On the screen. Was there anything from your TV wedding that you were like, oh, I kind of want to insert that into my...
What's funny is we shot our TV wedding at a place called Calamigos Ranch in Malibu, in California. And Matt came to visit the set, and he stepped on, and we were like, damn, because it was so gorgeous, and they do weddings there, and he was like, we could have done it here, but now you and Alex have taken it. So, I mean, the whole wedding itself was absolutely gorgeous on Grey's. So I would have loved to, I mean, we joked even about like, hey, should we just run down the aisle and just quickly say our vows to like the actor priest and be done with it. But no, it was so gorgeous. There were definitely elements of it that I kind of wanted to steal from my wedding, but I shall make them both very different.
I know your fiance is like a grown man, but was he like, oh, I'm a little jealous you're getting married on a small screen.
Yeah, it was weird. I was leaving that morning and he was like, bye, good luck with your wedding to someone else. It's a very weird being actors, but he's an actor too, so he understands.
That's so funny.
And he loves Justin.
Task 2. Listen to NBC's Morgan Radford conducting an interview with Angelina Jolie and Jack Black about the film Kung Fu Panda 3. Complete the gaps with one or two suitable words from the recording. Write your final answers in the grid provided below, as shown in example 0. You will hear the recording twice.
Now you have 2 minutes to read the task before the audio starts.
We're back at 8:42. All this week, we've been catching up with the stars of the newest installment of the Kung Fu Panda franchise.
Right, this morning, it's Angelina Jolie and Jack Black's turn. NBC's Morgan Radford sat down with them to talk about the movie and their special co-stars.
Justice is about to be served.
We'll have two justice platters, please. Tigress, did you want extra sauce with that?
She wants it on the side.
On the side.
On the side.
So what is it about these films that makes them so special?
I think anything that comes from such a good place is very special. And the intention of this is to do something for children. You know, it's relatable for everybody, but really it's for children. And it has beautiful messages of embracing who you are, being a family, loyalty, understanding all different types of family, all different types of being and finding yourself.
This time around, it's a family affair. Four of the Jolie Pitt kids and Black son Samuel all had small parts in the movie.
So what was it like working with your kids?
Oh, so much fun. I think what was so sweet about it was that they took it very seriously. They came in and they said, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure I can do this. And I, you know, and then to talk them through it. And it was simple little things, but they really took it seriously as a job. And getting it right and not doing a bad job.
So whose idea was it? Did you have to convince them to do it, or were they super excited to have a part?
We
forced them.
Yeah.
It's like, get out there and do your job. Earn some money for this family.
No, their family contributors.
My boy wanted to do it. When I told him, hey, we're doing Kung Fu Panda 3, he was like, can I be in it? I was like, well, let's see what I can do. I'll try to get you a line. And I was able to pull some strings.
So yeah. Did they catch the acting bug? Do we have young little actors on our hands?
I hope not.
Why would you say that?
We've always said if they're going to be actors, I hope they do something and then be actors.
I do encourage them when they say, hey, I want to be in a thing. I want to act. I say, all right, well, then what do you want to do? What are you going to write? You got to write it. You know, so I try to steer him towards, you know, writing and directing the little things on the iPhone, little iPhone video films. I think that's a...
Oh, I bet yours are great.
Yeah. Well, we got some good stuff.
You do that really good.
Dustin Hoffman and Lucy Liu are back again. And rounding out the All-Star cast, a few new voices you just might recognize.
These are your cousins, Dim and Sonic.
Welcome back, buddy.
Way to go.
How you been, man?
Who's the panda?
Who's the panda?
You the panda.
You the panda.
You the panda.
You the panda.
And it's no secret, it's like the best job in the world. If you can get a cool animated film...
That works.
That's yeah. So fun. And... It's sort of lower stress than a live-action film where you have to wake up at 5 a.m. and go through the hair and makeup and costumes every day. You just sort of show up in your PJs and let it spill for a few hours. It's like a really fun job.
Because he can only be stopped by a master of chi.
Oh, again with a chi.
As it's unfolding, Jack, should we expect a number four?
Well, I think these things, the natural progression is three, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end, the big finish. That seems to be the law of sequels. And, you know, when we started off, that was the hope in my mind. It's like, man, maybe this thing will be a huge hit and we'll do another one. I think there's a hunger for Panda. People want more Panda, and that's a good sign.
For today, Morgan Radford, NBC News, Los Angeles.
We're back at 8:42. All this week, we've been catching up with the stars of the newest installment of the Kung Fu Panda franchise.
That's right. This morning, it's Angelina Jolie and Jack Black's turn. NBC's Morgan Radford sat down with them to talk about the movie and their special co-stars.
Justice is about to be served.
We'll have two justice platters, please.
Tigress, did you want extra sauce with that?
She wants it on the side.
On the side.
On the side.
So what is it about these films that makes them so special?
I think anything that comes from such a good place is very special. And the intention of this is to do something for children. You know, it's relatable for everybody, but really it's for children. And it has beautiful messages of embracing who you are, being a family, loyalty, understanding all different types of family, all different types of being and finding yourself.
This time around, it's a family affair. Four of the Jolie Pitt kids and black son Samuel all had small parts in the movie.
So what was it like working with your kids?
Oh, so much fun. I think what was so sweet about it was that they took it very seriously. They came in and they said, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure I can do this. And I, you know, and then to talk them through it. And it was simple little things, but they really took it seriously as a job. And getting it right and not doing a bad job.
So whose idea was it? Did you have to convince them to do it, or were they super excited to have a part?
We
forced them.
Yeah.
It's like, get out there and do your job. Earn some money for this family.
No, their family contributors.
My boy wanted to do it. When I told him, hey, we're doing Kung Fu Panda 3, he was like, can I be in it? I was like, oh, well, let's see what I can do. I'll try to get you a line. And I was able to pull some strings.
So yeah. Did they catch the acting bug? Do we have young little actors on our hands?
I hope not.
Why? Why would you say that?
We've always said if they're going to be actors, I hope they do something and then be actors.
I do encourage them when they say, hey, I want to be in a thing. I want to act. I say, all right, well, then what do you want to do? What are you going to write? You got to write it. So I try to steer them towards, writing and directing the little things on the iPhone. Little iPhone video films. I think that's a...
Oh, I bet yours are great.
Yeah.
Well, we got some good stuff.
Dustin Hoffman and Lucy Liu are back again. And rounding out the all-star cast, a few new voices you just might recognize.
These are your cousins, Dim and Sonic.
Welcome back, buddy.
Way to go.
How you been, man?
Who's the panda?
Who's the panda?
You the panda.
You the panda.
You the panda.
You the panda.
That is no secret. It's like the best job in the world. If you can get a cool animated film
that works.
That's so fun. And it's sort of lower stress than a live action film where you have to wake up at 5 a.m. and go through the hair and makeup and costumes every day. You just sort of show up in your PJs and let it spill for a few hours. It's like a really fun job.
Because he can only be stopped by a master of chi.
Oh, again with a chi.
As it's unfolding, Jack, should we expect a number four?
Well, I think these things, the natural progression is three. You know, the beginning, the middle, and the end, the big finish. That seems to be the law of sequels. And, when we started off, that was the hope in my mind. It's like, man, maybe this thing will be a huge hit and we'll do another one. I think there's a hunger for Panda. People want more Panda, and that's a good sign.
For today, Morgan Radford, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Task 3. You will hear an old interview with popular voice actor Red Pepper. For items 1 to 10, choose the best option, A, B or C, according to what is said in the recording. Write your final answers in the grid provided below, as shown in example 0. You will hear the recording twice.
Now you have 2 minutes to read the task before the audio starts.
read, I think we ought to explain, first of all, that you were a tube train driver.
Yeah.
And now you do voiceovers for all the big movies mm-hmm. and stuff. So tell us a story. How did you start off as a tube
it's
driver?
It's not your obvious career change.
No, it's not.
It?
And now you're the sexiest voice in the world.
Well, what happened was I was driving a train, really loving every minute of it, and I made an announcement at Oxford Circus.
Yeah.
What was the end? Do you remember the announcement?
You know, something really exciting, like, mind the doors. And this guy got off the train, he tapped on the window, and he said, hey, you got a really great voice. And so I said, yeah, great, thanks. He said, do you have an agent? I said, yeah. He took my number. And this guy happened to be, like, the vice president of the Sci-Fi Channel.
So it's just fairy story.
Yeah,
really?
And the next day he called me up and basically said, we want you to be the corporate voice of the Sci-Fi Channel. And I thought about it for a hell of a long time. and basically, the rest is history.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
But it's a big future ahead as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
you,
for real.
You were driving along on the tube, weren't you, one time?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you're aware that you've got one hell of a voice.
Thank you.
What did you do? Because didn't you just play some kind of Wile E. Coyote prank on Halloween? Can you just run us through
Oh,
that?
Yeah, Halloween night. That was some fun. You know, I'm a person who I like to live a little. And it's pretty boring doing the job, so I stopped the train in between stations.
And this
on
is Halloween?
Halloween night.
Oh, no.
And, what about someone coming out behind you? I mean, it's fun and death, isn't
go
it?
On, yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I stopped the train in between stations, I turned the lights off, and
and you drink a lot.
And I said, yeah, for real. And I said, this is your driver speaking, or is it? And and, like, you know, a lot of guys laughed, but the ladies screamed and hollered. And
when
I got to the next station, the guys got out and said, yeah, nice one, mate. And, but, like, the ladies, you stupid bastard. And, you know, it was good fun, but I got disciplined for it. But, hey, that's how it goes.
So I mean, in your adolescent days, you know, puberty and all that, did your voice sort of suddenly change? And were you right pipsqueak, little voice like that, and all of a sudden you got loads of girlfriends?
Literally, it actually changed coming down the stairs. It was like, good morning, Mom. It just kept going up and down all day. And
but
you know,
the girls love it. I mean, all the girls in here, we're all salivating on the spot. I mean, you must have a right royal choice of girlies.
Well, I'll take a rain check on that, right?
When you're in the throes of passion, though, do they kind of say, for God's sake, Red, please say something else, even if it's just reading what's on the back of your head? Anything?
You know what?
Read the condom box out to me, Red, please.
The thing is, it's like you pick up the telephone and people think you're like 90 years old, you just come out of the coffin or something, this real big, deep voice, but, you know, it's just one of them things. It happened when I was about 14 and that's one of those things. It just happened like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Know? I mean, what do you hope to do? I mean, obviously you're doing really well at the moment, but I mean, what are your sort of future aspirations?
Well, luckily for me, because of my voice, I've been signed up by one of the most successful agencies called Speak, and they've gotten me so much work, even acting work, etc. People would have it that I'm going to Hollywood. Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
But you know, God
you're
knows
a looker as well, you see. You've got all...
Jenny, stop it.
You like that?
Sorry, but, you know, you're a looker. You're mm-hmm. tall, you're
yeah.
dark, you're
yeah.
handsome, you've got a face.
Do you remember
me
that?
I mean, I love this girl.
I mean, you know, can you just whisper a few sweet nothings or something? You forget about him.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, like, the first time I met you, the very first time I met you, you look so good.
Really?
I love you,
Jen, baby. Look! I was there about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but she's better looking than you. She really is.
About 5 minutes ago, I was there.
now, Red, I think we ought to explain, first of all, that you were a tube train driver.
Yeah.
And now you do voiceovers for all the big movies and stuff. So tell us a story. How did you start off as a tube
it's
driver?
It's not your obvious career change,
no, it's
is
not.
It?
And yeah, now you're the sexiest voice in the world.
Well, what happened was I was driving a train, really loving every minute of it, and I made an announcement at Oxford Circus.
Yeah.
What was the... Do you remember the announcement?
You know, something really exciting, like, mind the doors. And this guy got off the train, he tapped on the window, and he said, hey, you got a really great voice. And so I said, yeah, great, thanks. He said, do you have an agent? I said, yeah. He took my number. And this guy happened to be, like, the vice president of the Sci-Fi Channel.
So it's just a fairy story.
Yeah,
really?
And the next day he called me up and basically said, we want you to be the corporate voice of the Sci-Fi Channel. And I thought about it for a hell of a long time. and basically, the rest is history.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
But it's a big future ahead as well, isn't it?
Yeah, for real.
You were driving along on the tube, weren't you, one time?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you're aware that you've got one hell of a voice.
Thank you.
What did you do? Because didn't you just play some kind of Wile E. Coyote prank on Halloween? Can you just run us through
that? Oh, yeah, Halloween night. That was some fun. You know, I'm a person who I like to live a little. And it's pretty boring doing the job, so I stopped the train in between stations.
And this
on
is Halloween?
Halloween night.
Oh, no.
And, what about someone coming up behind you? I mean, it's fun and death, isn't
go
it?
On. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I stopped the train in between stations, I turned the lights off, and...
and you drink a lot.
And I said, yeah, for real. And I said, this is your driver speaking, or is it? And, and, like, you know, a lot of guys laughed, but the ladies screamed and hollered. And when I got to the next station, the guys got out and said, yeah, nice one, mate. And, but, like, the ladies, you stupid bastard. It was good fun, but I got disciplined for it. But, hey, that's how it goes.
So I mean, in your adolescent days, you know, puberty and all that,
Did
your voice sort of suddenly change? And were you right pipsqueak? Look at the voice like that. And all of a sudden, you got loads of girlfriends.
Oh, literally, it actually changed coming down the stairs. It was like, good morning, Mom. It just kept going up and down all day. And
but
you know,
the girls love it. I mean, all the girls in here, we're all salivating on the spot. I mean, you must have a right royal choice of girlies.
Well, I'll take a rain check on that, right?
When you're in the throes of passion, though, do they kind of say, for God's sake, Red, please say something else, even if it's just reading what's on the back of your head? Anything? Read the condom box out to me, Red, please.
The thing is, it's like you pick up the telephone and people think you're like 90 years old, you just come out the coffin or something, this real big, deep voice, but, you know, it's just one of them things. It happened when I was about 14 and that's one of those things. It just happened like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Know? I mean, what do you hope to do? I mean, obviously you're doing really well at the moment, but I mean, what are your sort of future aspirations?
Well, luckily for me, because of my voice, I've been signed up by one of the most successful agencies called Speak, and they've gotten me so much work, even acting work, etc. People would have it that I'm going to Hollywood. Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
But, you know, God knows
what'll happen. You're a looker as well, you see. You've got all...
Jenny, stop it.
You like that?
Sorry, but, you know, you're a looker. You're tall, you're dark, you're handsome, you've got great...
Do you remember that?
I love this girl.
Can you just whisper a few sweet nothings or something? You forget about him.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, like, the first time I met you, the very first time I met you, you look so good.
Really?
I love you,
Jen, look! I was there! I was there! About 5 minutes ago!
Yeah, but she's better looking than you.
Yeah,
she really
about
is.
5 minutes ago, I was there!
Fin de la prueba.